From the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Daniel. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall rise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 149 responsively. Hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song, God's praise in the assembly of the faithful. Them praise their maker's name with dancing. Let them sing praise with tambourine and harp. Let the faithful rejoice and triumph. Let them sing for joy on their beds. To wreak vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Inflict on them the judgment deceased. This is glory for all God's faithful ones. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Reading from Ephesians. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope up on Christ, might live for the praises of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption, as God's own people, and to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Our prayer started today, our opening prayer. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in life of faith and commitment. I think that prayer has so much for us. I would encourage you to take home your bulletin and read that prayer over. It's the opening prayer for today. Read that prayer over and again in the coming days and find the power in that prayer. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. Think of that image of God's people being knit together. There's a prayer that I especially like from the funeral liturgy that says, "We believe that all the ties of love and affection which knit us together in life do not unravel in death." I find that prayer to be so hopeful and so consoling. What God has knit together in life does not unravel in death. I feel connected to the people who I have been knit with, knit together, linked hand to hand in this life, that we are still connected even though they have gone to the next life. I think people who are knitters and weavers can get this stronger image than those of us who don't, but I still find this a very strong image. If knitting is done carefully and the yarn is bound together just right, then a beautiful product, a beautiful something, a scarf or a hat or a blanket emerges. That something will bring comfort and warmth to somebody. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. But I don't always feel that knit together. Sometimes the very fabric of life is tugged and torn, and the people of God feel like they're coming unraveled. The thread just doesn't seem strong enough to withstand all of the pulling and all of the factions of our world and our nation, our church, and even our individual lives. Look around the world. We see the gap widening between rich and poor, between the haves and the have-nots, between those with power and those with no voice. It's a very thin thread that holds the world together, and we are pulling at it mightily with war and injustice and poverty and terrorism. But there's knitting being done too. These last months we've seen bags of food and sacks of clothing appear on our stage in the fellowship hall as people have brought things to be shared, put things in that blue box that are later given to those in need. Our care extends as we serve food to the hungry, as we care for those in need. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us peace. Grant us grace. This month, we'll go to the polls, many of us, to elect a new mayor for San Diego. Our nation, the government, has made world news this past year as our elected officials have fought among themselves over budgets and health care and much more. The very fabric of our country is being pulled and tugged. What will keep us as a nation from unraveling? Where can we find common ground? Where can we find links to hold us together? Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. Today marks the first Sunday for Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, our presiding bishop of this denomination, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We will pray for her every week as we have faithfully prayed for Bishop Mark Hansen for the past 12 years. We pray that Bishop Liz will pull us together, knit us together, and pull us on the fabric of our life together as a church. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. But most of us don't even have to look beyond our own lives to see threads unraveling. We don't have to look beyond our church or our neighborhood, our nation, our city, the world. We can see the threads unraveling in our own families and worry about how we can keep it all together. Sometimes it is our lives that are coming unraveled. Addiction has a death grip on a friend. Your marriage seems to be unraveling faster than it can be knit together. Your children, the young ones and the old ones, tug and pull on you this way and that. Your parent or your spouse, your friend is ill and just waiting to be called home. Something goes wrong. Something breaks. A bone, your car, your heart. Do you know that to be true in your life? Things come apart and start to unravel. But here we are on All Saints Sunday, and the church invites us to pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. On All Saints Sunday, we are called to see a new vision, to catch a glimpse of what God is up to, as we are being knit together as the body of Christ and challenged to live as the body of Christ in the world today. That first reading from the prophet Daniel is just a snippet from the book, but we still get the idea, and we still get the point of that passage. The point is that no matter what comes up, God will prevail. In this vision, Daniel saw four different creatures rising out of the sea. The sight of these things to come terrified him. But listen to the last line of that verse. But the holy ones of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess this kingdom forever, forever and ever. We know they were terrifying things. There are terrifying things in our lives, and they are real. But God has plans for the holy ones, for the saints, for us. God's yes is so much bigger and stronger than our no. What is terrifying you? What is that great unknown that has you worried? What's tugging on the yarn of your life and wearing it thin? Where is it unraveling in the fabric of your life? The good news on this All Saints Sunday, no matter what comes up, we have a place with God. We are knit together in this kingdom forever, forever and ever. Almighty God, you have knit your people together. Grant us grace. Jesus invites us to have a new attitude in life, an attitude of freedom and grace. This is what it looks like when we are knit together in God's grace. This is the stance and the outlook of the people who know what holds them together, even when everything is unraveling, who know what is at the heart and the core, the center of life. It is Jesus Christ. He is the thread that holds us together. He is the yarn that knits us together. Jesus Christ is the one who came to turn this world upside down and to take all those unraveled, tattered lives and turn them into something beautiful for God. Almighty God, you knit your people together. Grant us grace. There are a number of people who are knitting right now. Hold up your knitting. Let's see who's knitting. Who's knitting? See these things that are being knit together? It's such a simple thing. Well, simple for them. Not so simple for some others who only have thumbs. There is a beauty in the simplicity of thread being turned into fabric, fabric being turned into something to give warmth and comfort. God has taken us and knit us into something beautiful. His people, the people of God, gathered here today, let us pray. Grant us grace to see you at work in us now. Grant us grace to see you holding us together when it seems like it is unraveling. Let us see you, even now, knitting together the broken, the hurting, the grieving, the hungry, the satisfied, the rich, the poor, the living and the dead, knitting us all together to be your body in the world. Amen.